Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, in our question and answer series, we were talking about some words that some people misuse to support a false doctrine. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
On his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
You say, Pastor, you've answered this lady's thing and the troubles that she may be having in a Christian ministry. And so what I want to know is, you've described some verses and some words a few times, and I did that purposely to drive it home, okay? And so let me read those last two verses to you. Last three verses, really, 30, 31, 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That day we're caught home to be with the Lord. You know, in Romans 8, chapter 23, it also talks about the redemption of our body. Okay. There, when you look at Romans 8, 23, it is something different than what you would expect, okay? Because you've heard so many other definitions go toward it that are just simply wrong, okay, if I can put it that way. No, I will put it that way because that's the truth. It's not if I can, I can, and I'll put it that way. So in Romans 8, 23, you see a verse that many have twisted for false doctrine. It says there, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, there are groups that have made adoption a completely different thing than what it says there. When the Bible tells us something means something, then that's what it means. The adoption there in Romans 8:23 is speaking of the rapture, the redemption of the body, our resurrection. And so, again, when you're looking here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 30 and 31, okay, now we've been looking at it, and that's what this whole question is about, but it's to bring you to a conclusion here. All these definitions to bring you to a conclusion. That's why I just defined various words here for you. And so, again, looking at verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4, please don't miss this, okay? Don't miss this at all. I need you to see this closely because this is destroying churches. This is destroying families. This is destroying people all across the place. Now I'm talking to the listener today. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, the rapture. Therefore, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Now, why did I put all of those together like that? The lady that wrote us seemed to think that bitterness should be at the end because she sees that probably on a daily basis. But really, the reason is you're going to be raptured. And this grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, there are people that are living in adultery. Just imagine a man is committing adultery with another woman and the rapture takes place at that very moment. He's saved. How would you like that? Well, that would be no worse than these things going on in your heart and with your mouth and the rapture takes place. Now think of that. That's a reality. You may not think it's that serious, but God does, and it grieves His Holy Spirit. These are things that grieve His Holy Spirit. And so, how do you counteract those things because they're real feelings? Verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, let me also make one more statement here because I think it's very important. It's on this thing of forgiveness. Have forgiveness in your heart to extend. But forgiveness, if we're going to do it in a godlike way, must be this way. We should desire for the person to come and confess it, to try to make it right and ask you to forgive them, to express their sorrow. Jesus said if they came to you 70 times, seven in a day, forgive them. I'd kind of have a doubt if it was 70 times about their sincerity, but nonetheless, the Lord said to forgive them. What I'm saying is that you can't forgive somebody if they don't ask. The Lord doesn't forgive us of our sin if we don't ask. I didn't get saved without confessing I was a sinner and asking for him to forgive me my sins and to come to my heart and save me. I wouldn't have been saved. I wouldn't be saved now if I hadn't. So, yeah, we should extend forgiveness, be ready to forgive, but you can't extend forgiveness till somebody actually comes to you with repentance, you might say, or an apology and makes things right in that manner. So, I try to finish this thing up, and I let the person know. I just say, look, you have a great heart, it seems to me, to want all these things to take place. You want this person to be right. You want that person to be right. You want things to get straightened out because it not only affects them, it affects people around them. In your case, teaching in a Christian school, it affects children that you're trying to not only lead to Christ that may be lost, but then to help them to grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and to know how godly people live. So after looking at Philippians 4:8 on how to think, and then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, about the forgiving one another, there's one other thing we still must do. Keep it in mind. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the next verse, you know what's so interesting about the next verse? Having done all to stand, withstand. See, you take a stand for the Lord, the devil's going to attack. He's going to use people to attack. He's going to use people that you've had confidence in, people that you've loved, people that have been your friend. And they will attack. Maybe it's because that your life is such a testimony and rebuke of theirs. But whatever it is, understand. Satan will attack, and we need to withstand, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So let's withstand that attack that would lead us to all these things in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, 31, and 32, in which people get angry, get bitter, get clamorous, evil speaking. Let's not fall into that and blame others because we have a choice to obey God, to meditate in His Word, to follow Him, putting on the whole armor of God. And that is our personal responsibility before God in carrying out all these things. As a Christian, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I cannot stand there and blame people for my failures. I am responsible. Take that responsibility upon yourself as well. I ended the letter by saying to her, I hope this helps. Sometimes we read something and it seems clear as mud, as somebody has said. But when you think on the Word of God, at first you may not really grasp why or what it's saying. But don't give up on thinking on the Word of God. Ask the Lord to help you think on it and meditate in it. Obviously, the Word of God has helped you to have this concern and conviction in your heart. And it seems like the one of the things that you've seen, maybe it's in your own heart or it's in some of those with whom you work, that there seems to be a bitterness. And what a great thing for a testimony for you. You had a parent or another person who's treating you in an ill manner and everybody realizes it's undeserved. Your reaction can be that very thing that helps those people that are in those things that you were concerned about to turn back and do right. Well, thank you for your letter, and I thank you for it. It was a challenging letter, and it was a good way to answer it. So, again, I appreciate it so very much, and we do hope that that was a help to you. All right, now we want to go on to the next letter. And this one's going to be interesting as well. And I'm going to answer it. I'm trying to answer these letters now within the text instead of just answering in full letter as I've normally do in the past, because of my eyesight, to be quite frank with you. But I'm going to do it this way. And so it greets me and then says, and this is another lady. If I remember, it's from the state of Georgia. I think it is, but again, I don't have that written down here as I read it. But it says, I was able to listen to your sermon this evening in 1 Samuel 7 and 8. Now, since the letter is dated back in August, I think that is August of 2021. So that's a few months ago when we are hearing this. The Philistines were blessed by God for their repentance, righteousness, the Bible says. And, okay, you folks hold on now. Don't get carried away with it yet. And what really defines true doctrine versus false doctrine is holiness. Those people who repented, sacrificing righteousness, they died because they looked inside the ark of the covenant. Holiness. It's holiness that defines true doctrine. Okay, well, I would agree with you that holiness, because there's a very strong command in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We're told to be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's the same command that was given in the Old Testament. So, holiness is commanded us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, understand, we think of sacrifices as something laying on an altar dead, having blood and all this other stuff. But what is a living sacrifice? Well, let's just take the ox in that Old Testament time. That ox could have been the fatted calf that was slain for the prodigal son upon his return to his father. But on the other hand, that ox can be the one that pulls the plow at the husbandman's direction.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.